Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Your Dunamis Life. I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard, Executive Director and CEO of Dunamis Center Ministries in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Here at Dunamis Center Ministries, our mission is to bring praise, honor, and glory to God by building Christ-centered, heart-connected marriages, births, and families who have deeper relationship with God and each other. I'm back again today with my co-host, Catherine Pearson.
Hello!
So, Catherine, we're still on the road, so hopefully there won't be any odd noises or anything going on while we're taping, other than us,
right?
So, before we get into the meat of today's show, you want to give the information on how to connect with us?
Yes, please connect with us on Facebook. Search Dunamis Center Ministries. On Twitter, go to @YourDunamisLife. We would love to get an email from you. The address is dunamislife@dunamiscenter.com. And the phone number. Oh, yeah. People can contact us by way of phone call.
I know. We actually have a phone in our offices. Can you believe it?
Right. So the number to reach us is 719-231-7183. And for all of those Dunamis is spelled D-U-N-A-M-A-S.
Correct. And, you know, people can go to our website to find out more about our counseling model, about our what's happening with our discerning childbirth, which big change is coming in 2016. So keep an eye on that website. You can purchase our books there. We've got a Proverbs study guide you can get. There's going to be a new book coming out here in the next month that I think everyone will be very excited about, but I think I'm going to wait until the next show to start talking about it. And
making us wait.
Yes. And then we're going to be doing new edits on the Discerning Childbirth books, and those will be available soon as well.
Yeah, new and improved.
New
updated.
And improved and updated. So it's going to be very exciting. So speaking of discerning childbirth,
yes,
today we are going to be speaking about midwives because it is National Midwife Week in the U.S.
Ta-da! Who knew?
Who knew? Well, we did apparently
because
we're doing a whole show on it.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, we want to talk about midwifery a little bit today.
Yeah, it is. I think it's near and dear to us. We have a heart to see people learn what God's will is for their birth and their labor and delivery. And, I think we would love to see them, look for and find a midwife that works for them if that's what God's leading them to do.
Right. And we know.
So what does that look like?
What does that look like? And, we do really, really want to encourage the church to get more focused on how does God want us to do things? Because there's too much of just kind of going along with the program or what everybody else does or looking like our culture. And so we're going to be talking today about how midwife, the good, the bad, and the ugly, I guess, a little bit.
Yeah.
So to speak. Because there's just, you and I both have used midwives for our births.
Yeah.
You and I have both done a hospital birth. And
yes.
It's like it's night and day sometimes. And the problem is that the midwives started out as God's idea.
Right.
We can go back to Genesis as one of the only places you actually see the midwives spoken of and attending birth.
Right, yeah. The first one that we could find was Genesis 35, verse 17. And this is Jacob's wife, Rachel, who is in labor with Benjamin. Rachel began to give birth and had great difficulty. And as she was having great difficulty in childbirth, the midwife said to her, "Don't be afraid, for you have another son."
And you know what was interesting there? The midwife said, "Don't be afraid."
That's right.
There's like the thing about the midwifery model of practice, one of the things is it's not supposed to be fear-driven.
Right. We, here in Genesis and then also over in Exodus, which we'll talk about, they, in both places, they midwives had no fear. No fear of man.
Right, fear of man. That's a good way of putting it. And so what was interesting to us when we were looking at this issue of fear and midwives being the ones bringing in, let's not be afraid of this, this is God's design, we can do this. This is the first time we actually see a human being speaking, don't be afraid or fear not or anything like that.
Right, yeah. It's amazing to think, you know, in Genesis up until this point, it was the Lord speaking, fear not, don't be afraid. And he was talking to Abraham and some other...
Hagar. It was like pretty much within that context.
Mm-hmm.
And then the very first time you see a person speak it, for the cause of God,
yeah,
it's a midwife.
Yeah, wow. Well, that seems like such an amazing legacy.
Yeah, to be
to
able
to think about.
Yes, I know. And she's telling a woman who's having a difficult time, don't be afraid, it's okay, God is with us. And that mom did die.
She did. That is the reality.
And
sometimes that happens.
Right. And the midwife was still telling her not to be afraid.
Yeah.
And trying to soothe her and comfort her and not projecting fear and not being like, oh, no, this is terrible, and getting her spun up even more.
What's going to happen? Maybe we should transfer
to... Oh, wait, where?
Yeah. Shoot, they didn't have those.
Yeah, so they had to trust. They had to trust God, and they had to trust the process, and they had to trust that sometimes moms and babies don't make it.
Yeah, it's the harsh reality, but unfortunately, it is the reality. You know, sad as it is, you know, you've said dozens of thousands of times, you know, God does not guarantee outcomes for moms or babies.
No.
This
is an example
of
that.
Yeah, it is.
And then the other place that we next see the midwife is Tamar giving birth to twins in Genesis. And that just, to me, is one of the most amazing birth stories. I mean, that story just blows my mind. So she's giving birth to twins.
Right. I'm finding the verse here. Verse 27, when the time came for her to... I'm sorry, Genesis 38.
Okay.
Verse 27. When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. As she was giving birth, one of them put out his hand. So the midwife took a scarlet thread and tied it on his wrist, and said, this one came out first. But when he drew back his hand, his brother came out. And she said, so this is how you have broken out. And he was named Perez. Then his brother, who had the scarlet thread on his wrist, came out, and he was given the name Zerah.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, we worry about positioning for babies. You know, I've worked with twin moms before, and they're all worried about what if the second one's a breech or, you know... And this kid was hand-presenting. Now, imagine how tight that would be in the birth canal. He's got his arm up along the side of his head.
Must be, yeah.
And that's coming out first, and his head and his arm are both in the birth canal now.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Or at the mouth of the birth canal.
Yeah.
Unless he just like was like monkey arm.
Really long.
His head was probably already down in there.
Yeah.
And he just pulls that thing back. It's almost like he was like, hi, and then pulled it back.
I kind of wonder if he was stretching.
Yes,
you know, something. His hand popped out.
Weird.
Or it could have been that the brother was like yanking him back. I don't know.
Right. And then these babies rotate inside the mom. They have to rotate to get that one out of the way a little bit. And the other one comes in and he breaks through. Like you said.
Broken up.
Yeah, he broke out. Now, we don't have more information about whether these two fought like Jacob and Esau did, but they, you know, clearly it was a very fascinating story, and the attendant was the midwife.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things was, to me, that struck me was if she knew to tie a scarlet string, they had already developed some way of identifying identical twins, so they had to have seen it before.
Right, yeah, there was something in their apprenticeships or their teaching or something that says, okay, if you know there's twins in there or guess,
yeah,
and one comes out.
Mark it.
Yeah. Tag it somehow.
Tag it somehow, because you know they could look exactly alike, and we might not know who's who.
Yeah.
You know, not like Jacob and Esau, though, with Esau with his bright red curly hair. He was pretty obvious who was who.
Well, and the thing is that they...
Welcome, Sharon.
they did that for the inheritance.
Yes.
They had to know which one was first for the inheritance.
Right.
Absolutely. So there was great importance.
Yes.
And that midwife had a big job to make sure that they got the first one
right.
Correct, yeah.
Right. And then these two little dudes, you know, flipped around in there and flipped the script, so yeah. to speak, on the whole program.
Perez said, no, I want it. No, yeah. I want the inheritance.
Yes, it's mine. Get out of my way. I'm going. So,
oh my.
Yeah, I know. We could come up with all kinds of fun things. But the point is, again, a midwife's there. There's no expression of concern or fear. She's just kind of like, well, look at you busting your way out. And that's about it.
Yeah.
That's about as upset as she got.
Yeah.
But you know what really, really speaks to me are the Exodus midwives. Everybody, you know, does talk about the Exodus midwives. I think we need to really, you know, pause there and look at this for a minute. Because midwives today are operating out of a lot of fear. There's a lot of fear in the current midwifery environment in our culture.
Right. There seems to be a much greater emphasis being placed on certifications and licensures and
state laws and rules yeah. and what you can do, what you can't do.
Yeah. There's much more and more legislation about it and
right
guidelines and rules and do this, don't do that.
And so a lot of midwives are operating their practice in a fear mode.
Yeah.
And so part of the fear mode is fear of man. What will man do to me? And part of that fear mode is, am I going to make enough money to support my family? So we've got two really big spirits of fear that are controlling the majority of midwifery. Not all. You know, if you are a God-led, spirit-filled midwife who just does this according to the way that God leads you, then we're not talking about you, clearly.
Right, right.
And we would love to know who you are.
Okay. Please contact us.
Yes, because a dunamis life would include birthing with someone like you.
Whether you're in Colorado Springs or outside.
Let us know.
Yes, please let us know.
Because we have people asking us all the time, well, is there a midwife you know in such and such an area that I can trust to be led by God first?
Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately, our answer is no, not really.
Yeah, it's true.
There's very few areas. So what we see happening in our current environment is midwives are trying to legitimize themselves through a worldly model. Even if they're Christians, they're going through a legitimization system the way
right.
the world defines it, not God. Now, go ahead.
No, well, I was just going to say, can you tell them some more about that? You mean like with the certifications? And
certifications, licenses, all of that. Now, I don't want people to misunderstand this, though, Catherine, because the training itself is not the problem.
Okay.
The
yeah.
going to a school to learn how to be a quality midwife, to learn some good skills. You know, this is our sort of model of apprentice training in the United States, and you still have to apprentice with a midwife and attend births and all this. But, you know, the skills training, the book learning, so to speak, that isn't the problem.
Okay.
And you can just about go to any midwifery school and get that.
Right.
And you're going to get it pretty equally on the academics, no matter who you go to. Where you have to really watch it is, where's my skills? You know, my actual field skills.
The like you were saying, in the field, like experiences or?
Yes, and going to workshops or skills
okay.
training events and just really learning from other midwives what makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those can be different.
Right.
Because if you've got a midwife who's medically oriented,
that is what the influence you'll receive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when we say that, you know, my youngest is 26 years old.
Okay.
Almost 27. That was the last birth I had, obviously, 26, 27 years ago. And when I was looking for a midwife in the area that I lived in, it never occurred to me to question their training at all.
Really?
And I was a birth educator, and I was a childbirth assistant, And none of us in the area that we lived in, we all knew who the five or six midwives were. We all knew all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it never occurred to any of us that you had to worry about what was their education, what was their license, what is their motivation for what they're doing. They all followed the midwifery model of care. And really it came down to whose personality did I like the best?
Yeah.
Who did I feel the safest with?
A connection with?
Yes. Who did I feel a connection with? Today, I can't say that to the moms who are having babies. Just go interview them and pick who you like.
Yeah.
Personality-wise.
It's true. There are a variety of skills and abilities and preferences.
Attitudes, approaches.
Right.
What is my focus? What am I protecting? Am I really more about the moms or am I more about the license? Am I more about the moms? Am I more about my money? You know, and so now this is where I want to talk to specifically the Christians who are doing this kind of work, because if they're more worried about their license and their money, are they really doing what God wants them to do?
Good question.
And you, as a Christian having a baby, are they really then going to be the best for you?
Yeah.
Because when we were doing our Choices for Discerning Childbirth seminars, one of the things we talked about was, oh, try to find a Christian midwife. Now, I don't know if that's really your best avenue. It's sad to say.
It is. It is sad to say.
And so what are the midwives fearing and what's driving their practice?
Right. Are they fearing the loss of their licensure? Are they fearing the ability to support their family financially? Are they fearing, or are they fearing God?
They could be fearing arrest even. I'm just saying that that is a likelihood for some midwives in some areas. So
yeah.
I'm not, you know, saying there aren't some legitimate reasons
right.
for them to approach midwifery from that. But the problem is they start to magnify the medical approach to it rather than the God approach that you were just mentioning.
Right, right. Yeah, it would be really nice if they were to be able to stand firm and say, well, God gave me this work to do, and God gave me these clients to reach, and so I'm going to trust God that He's going to provide the money, He's going to provide the whatever other support I need to be able to follow through on this that I feel God has called me to do.
Absolutely. And you know, I know that we're not here specifically to talk about this, but you could throw the doulas in this pile too, along with the midwives. So when I say that, what I mean is we're hearing these words coming out of Christian midwives and Christian doulas or childbirth assistants. I have to make a living wage.
Yeah. It's a bit saddening to hear that.
It's very sad. And, you know, I want to just say we don't talk about people doing anything we don't do ourselves.
Right. You mean here at the Zunamos
Center? Yeah. So a lot of times people will look at us and say, well, you're doing this and you're doing that. No, we're not. We are doing this. When we say, here's a model, when we do counseling, when we do birth classes, when we do anything that I'm out there serving or you're out there physically actually serving someone,
mm-hmm.
we say, hey, this is the amount of money we'd like to make for this, because there's nothing wrong with saying this is the value of what I'm offering you.
Right.
However, if you can't do that, then do what the Lord tells you to do.
Yes. Yes.
And it's shocking to people that we can do that.
Yes, but, you know, it allows us to, or maybe I should say we are approaching this in the manner of, you know, we have a, like you were saying, we have an amount for services, but we'll trust that God leads you to pay what you can.
Right.
And we'll trust God that, you know, He'll provide somehow
right.
to cover what we need to cover.
And the way it's usually provided is through other means. Just like Paul was out building the church, and it says he was making tents to support himself. He wasn't supported by the ministry work. I would love for everyone to be supported by the ministry, because everybody here is worth every penny they're not getting. and they're here for you.
So when we look at midwifery, it was a God-ordained practice in the Old Testament. It was not just like, oh, that looks like fun, or that looks like a neat profession. It's not. I did childbirth assisting for a lot of years. So don't whine in my face about the on-call hours or the time it takes from the family. I know all of that.
Yeah.
Because I have some of these people, when I'm talking about this stuff, act like I don't know what that lifestyle is like.
Oh.
I do know what it's like. And if you can't live it...
It's a bit in your past. So new people that meet you may not see that or know it right away, but it's there.
But it's there, and I know what it is. And I know what it is to do with small kids.
Yeah.
And I also know what it is to do it for the benefit of birthing families.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, this is where I have people say, but your husband has a really good job and he can support you. Okay, I'm going to back that truck up again. As you said, it was like many years ago.
Yeah.
So I was doing it when I had three small children at home.
Uh-huh.
My husband was at the very beginning of his career.
Right.
So he wasn't making the money he's making now.
Mm-hmm.
And we had five mouths to feed.
Yeah.
And he still made it work.
Yeah. Well, you two made it work together, I would say.
We did. We did. And it wasn't like, you better be making money. It was like, okay, let's look at what I'm making and support the family on that.
Uh-huh.
And my husband. And then anything that I personally made off of birth, because, yeah, I do, you know, I did have a fee, but I didn't always make everybody pay it if I felt led by God to do a birth.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I got to do, like, a fun thing with the kids, or we could take a vacation if I saved the money up, or they could take tennis, or, you know, whatever. But it wasn't the budget, it wasn't budgeted.
Right. Right.
As soon as you start budgeting this, you start worrying more about your profession, quote unquote, than you do about serving people.
Yeah. You know, a little ways ago, we started talking about the midwives in Exodus 1.
We did.
And I just want to bring up a few scriptures that will show, I think, some really important points here.
Absolutely.
So Exodus 1, verse 17... Do we need to give background story? I think it's fairly common. Okay, I'm sorry. So, verse 17. The midwives, however, feared God.
Yeah, let's do just a little bit of background. They were told by Pharaoh that if a boy baby was born, to throw him in the river and kill him.
Yeah.
And so, they could be killed if they didn't follow Pharaoh's rules.
Right.
We're not talking about go to jail, lose your practice, and not be around your family. We're talking about probably beheaded is what I'm guessing based on the times.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But again, in verse 17, it says, however, they feared God.
More than that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. More than that. And they did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. And when the king asked the midwives about it, why have you done this? The midwives answered, Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive. So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own.
So their reward was their own family.
Taking care of the family, yeah.
Yeah. So here they are, midwives. That's a tough job. And the reward was a family.
Yeah.
To take care of.
Yeah. So I think it demonstrates the point that you were talking about, though, that, you know, they, by first fearing God, you know, then, you know, God met all their other needs.
Right.
To have a family and take care of it.
And they're being threatened with death, basically, if they don't do what a man says to do.
Right.
There, you know, and I understand that this is a very tricky time for midwives in the United States history. At the same time, if you're a Christian midwife, what are you doing first?
Right.
Are you trusting the Lord first? Are you worried about protecting your license or this or that? And I hear all the time that, well, you know, if I don't do something XYZ way for this birth, and I could lose this, and then I
wouldn't be available for the next birth and so on. And I'm just left with, so you leave everybody half cared for. There's nobody that feels completely cared for. Mm. Everybody feels half cared for.
Yeah.
And the stories I hear in my office when I'm doing post-birth stuff, like post-stillbirth or post-traumatic birthing, even at, I'm getting more home births with trauma because of the midwives' attitudes than ever.
Oh,
and it's sad.
Yeah, it is sad.
It's very sad. And part of it is they're, part of it is the system they have to work under. If doctors did what doctors were supposed to do, which is be doctors, not midwives, and they right? they understood their role, and they were not greedy,
mm-hmm.
and midwives could legitimately say, there's no problem transferring if there's a need, like we read where Rachel died, and then Ebenezer's mother dies also in scripture at childbirth. And some of when you read it, it just sounds to me like it might be like postpartum hemorrhage or something like that. Those are things that if the midwife feels safe to go to a doctor, that whole transition would happen without a hitch and the moms would get amazing care.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't have to worry about did a midwife make a right decision or not, because she wouldn't even hesitate.
Right, right.
She would know, I'm out of my skills, and now it's time for the doctor who has a different skill set,
yes.
which is not natural birth. But I'm also concerned that midwives are wanting to do more and more medical care at home because of this.
Because they don't feel the safety and freedom to
right.
be taking women who need a doctor.
Right, so they want more medications at home.
Yeah.
They want to be able to, you know, do all that ultrasounding and everything. And it's like, but you're not a doctor. So if you're just, if you're a midwife, you shouldn't have an ultrasound machine in your office. You're not there to diagnose anything other than normal pregnancy.
Right.
If you think something's not right, then you should be sending them to a medical doctor.
Right.
For the ultrasound or whatever they need to yeah. find out.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been problems with that.
Yes. It's saddening to see this shift. And I think, you know, we would just love and maybe pray to that, you know, this culture would shift and change back to, you know, let the midwives be midwives and let the doctors be doctors. And let there be a spirit of community between them.
Exactly. If we could work with that, then we wouldn't have so many problems that we see at the hospitals, that we see at the home births. More women would start at home. More women would just have normal, safe births with midwives who feared God.
Yeah.
And more women would be able to get something extra if and when it were needed. And I think more women in the church would actually trust the design that God has for birthing, rather than be so fearful.
Mm-hmm.
If it was just, we all trust God, we fear not. We fear not as the birthing mom. They fear not as the midwives.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to have a really good outcome, and we would have healthier moms, healthier babies, and more kids would grow up hearing how God took care of them in the womb and God took care of their births, and then trust in the Lord can grow, which is ultimately what we want to see, right?
Yes, amen.
So just in case we didn't say it enough in here, though, I really do honor midwives. I really value when they're following the midwifery model what they have to bring.
Absolutely. It's, you know, you it made a difference for you
oh,
in
absolutely.
Your birth.
Yes,
it made a difference
for, sure.
for me with my birth. And
yep, yep.
It was, yes, it was a blessing to be able to have a midwife.
Yep. So I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard.
And I'm Catherine Pearson.
And I will look forward to sharing with you again.